This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
Subculture Club with Hugh Joseph and Michael Payne on FUBAR Radio.
May I have your attention, please?
All right.
Here we go again.
Where did you find that?
Some kid back in town?
The volume.
Ah! Redeem a full of culture, y'all.
That time of the week again, the boys are back in town.
Yeah, we are.
That was some real Aussie twang there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Shit, I try not to do that too much these days.
Well, where were Thin Lizzy from?
Thin Lizzy? Definitely not Australia.
That was AC/DC, wasn't it?
They're from Australia,
The rock greats.
I don't even know. I don't know nothing about nothing. It's a good way to be.
It is a great way to
be. They say ignorance is bliss, but not knowing knowledge, not knowing that you know things, is the smartest way to be.
Well, if you can't be ignorant, you know what I mean? You didn't even know the thing was there to ignore it.
Thank you. I don't know what any of this means, but all I know is I got a compliment out of it, and I fucking take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what you want to call it—a compliment,
dude. Side. You've got a there's a package, a little package. It looks like it's quite small, like about the size of a sunglasses case.
Don't talk about my address. Package like that.
Come on, man, not that package. We all know that package is like the size of a entertainment unit remote. Isn't that how it's been described on the internet?
You know the ones with the joystick where you can move the camera around and shit.
It's like, it's like five Wii remotes all taped together. But there's this little a package for you came in the post. And it could be sunglasses.
Definitely not sunglasses.
It could be like maybe about an ounce of weed. It looks
definitely
like about that size.
I wish it was.
Do you actually know? Can we open it right now?
We can, yeah. I know exactly what it is.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Can I open it then if you know what it is? Because I'm actually quite... I love opening presents. I'm actually quite excited. Sick. If I feel like this is more suited to me, can I have it?
No.
All I heard was yes. Oh, hang on. I can't open it. It's too tight. Shit. So if you're a rapper, does that mean you can unwrap things as well?
No.
You can only wrap things.
Rappers don't get very many presents. That's why we're so tough.
Really? Because your presents is a present?
Exactly.
Fuck, man. Oh, God.
It's got bubble wrap as well.
Oh, man. Fucking over this already. Come on, man. Shit. Hey. Here we go. This is fun. I love opening presents. What have I got? Oh, sick!
It's a video camera.
Dude, it's a little tiny HD video camera.
Mm-hmm.
That is so dope.
From Nottingham, from sunny Nottingham. So my co-presenter, Reese, who does the Payne and Sylvester Incorporated show with myself and Harley on Wednesdays from
what
4
time?
Till 6.
Good plug.
His mother was kind enough to send it down for me because...
Whoa.
That sounds weird.
Back it up.
You could hear by the inflection that there was going to be more.
But I want to interrupt to try to make it for my own amusement.
Yeah, true.
So Reese's mom has sent you a little mini hand cam.
Yes.
And do you need to give this back to her?
Yeah, obviously. Well, yeah, I need to give it back. It's Reese's handycam.
Right.
Reese is from Nottingham and lives in Nottingham but spends a lot of time in London.
Uh-huh.
So he asked his mum to send his video camera down so I could use it for the Doc Brown tour.
Right, okay. So all I heard there was Reese's mum sent you a video camera so you can film stuff and then send it back to her.
Now, of course that would be all you heard.
So that's what happened, right? Is that the deal? Can we make a video for her now and send it?
No.
All I heard was
I'm not going to send that back to her.
I've got selective hearing. I heard was yes. That's all I heard.
Yeah. I've got selective speech as well.
Come on, man.
Give
on
me
board
the
with
fucking
this.
Camera.
That's get on board with this.
I've just selected that phrase to say
why
to
won't you.
You
get on board with this? Come on, man. I'll give it to you.
Thanks.
If we can make one video. Meet me in the middle.
Okay.
Sick. Yes. We need to make the editing team as well. We're going to make a proper film for Reese's mum.
I'm actually really excited about this. I've never had a camera that you can hold like this.
Do you know your hands are so big though? Because how tall are you? Like 7'3", 7'4"?
Yeah.
So for me, you are because I'm
5'2".
So I'm about 5'2", I think. I don't really know much about height and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Plus depths of perception. You're quite far away, so you can do a bit. But for your hand around that little handy cam, it looks like you're holding a GoPro.
Yeah.
If I was holding a GoPro, that would be about the same as
if
what
you were holding this
right.
This would look like one of those 80s television cameras.
I'd look like one of those 80s you know, reporters that runs to the scene of the crime, chases on the ambulance.
No, no, you'd look like it would look like one of those cameras that they had on the TV shows. You know, the massive ones with like the swivel. You couldn't move that shit around the studio. It stayed 100%. In one place and swiveled. That's what this would look like in your hands.
Yeah, I reckon it really would.
This would look like a spacecraft.
It would. It'd look like the original cameraman on EastEnders. You know?
Yeah. The first ever cameraman.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
I'm only playing.
Sick. All right. Well, maybe we can use some of the a little bit of help today from some of the cameras in here in the studio as well. Them to angles. Make a little video for Reese's mum. And we'll keep it kosher.
Yeah, I don't understand why you can't let go of the idea that Reese's mum will probably never see this video camera again.
But she will see the video that we're going to make for her today.
How do you imagine she's going to do that?
Because it's St. Patrick's Day? I'm trying to distract you. Yeah. Now. I'm trying to do like magician
tricks.
Well,
we could do is check what's on it already, because
that's a great idea.
Right?
That's way better. Why did I not think of that?
I have no idea.
And then we don't have to make a video. It's like less work.
Exactly.
Sick.
Well, I've got to figure out how to turn the fucker on.
Yeah.
Reese, if you're listening.
Well, if it's anything like women, you're going to be fucked.
Zing. Well, I am. I'm going to be fucked.
Oh, damn. You really flipped the script on that
one. I did indeed.
Hey, so is there any way you can find it out? Is the turn on?
I can't figure out how to turn this on.
No.
No, shit. Well, I'll figure it out.
All right. And we'll have a look at what's on there.
Exactly. Should we play a song in the meantime?
Yeah, let's do that. Well, actually, we've got a really, really massive show coming up today. Very, very pumped about this. In around about 25 minutes' time, we've got the director of Cowspiracy, which is... I watched it for the first time this morning. I've been avoiding it, which I'll get into a little bit later on when the director Kip Anderson joins us. But I watched it this morning and I straight up and down, I cried about four times watching it. It's fucking heavy, but super important. Super, super important. He's going to be joining us not too far away. He's got a new documentary coming out as well, which we're going to be chatting to him about. Also, we've got Matthew Horn. He's going to be joining us a little bit later on as well. Very, very famous actor. He's got a new play coming out.
Okay.
And then, of course, our wonderful, beautiful Kelly Jade.
Yep, she's up in here. Mm-hmm. I've also got the Music Makes Me Weak segment.
Mate, we're going to kick it off with that up next.
Oh, are we?
100%, my bro.
Cooler.
Yeah. That's all coming up today right here on FUBAR for the Subculture Club. Hugh and Michael with you.
Never forget this, I'll never forget. Never ever be the one to not be upset, no.
I lunged like an ape. Thank God we were near the monkey bars. I hung and I ate. Said kids, and I'm stood there in the playground. And I want you all become. Thank you.
now, it's Michael Starr from Steel Panther. You're listening to Hugh Joseph and Michael Payne on FUBAR Radio. May your balls be rocked.
Hell yeah. Rock your balls. Rock your balls all night long. Yeah.
Cheers for that.
Pleasure, man. Fucking hell. I'm like a chiropractor, man. I got your back. All right? Mm-hmm. Hey, music makes me weak. So you picked a couple of songs that something this week.
Yeah, just a couple of tunes that are related to an issue that I've encountered this week or just something in current affairs. Most of the time it's like quite a one that would seemingly affect the world.
Yeah.
Today I've done a mixture of one major one and one that would only really affect people in Maine, in the United States of America.
As in MANNG, Maine? What's on Maine?
Not that one. No, no. Not the main Maine.
Hey, Maine.
The place Maine.
What's your name about cocaine, Maine? About cocaine, Maine?
Not right. That Maine.
Place Maine. Music makes me weak.
Yeah, so the first song, this applies to the fact that Donald Trump just won't let these wiretap allegations go. He's pointing the finger everywhere and just seems to be pulling names out of thin air in order to kind of corroborate his accusations that Barack Obama spied on him. The latest people to join the sort of, to join this ridiculous saga are GCHQ.
Say that old hip hop group from the late 90s?
Not that GCHQ.
Oh,
one that only you've ever heard of.
Right. Real obscure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Government Communications Headquarters.
Right. Yeah. They weren't hip hop at all, were they?
No.
They were like more like, I think they were like country, and both types of music, country and western.
Yeah.
Those guys.
Definitely western.
Yeah.
And they've been, like I said, they're the latest sort of character. GCHQ is the latest character in this saga of Donald Trump's, and they've basically flatly denied having anything to do with this alleged wiretapping of Donald Trump that Barack Obama sort of commissioned. And I don't know who I just think who's next week is maybe going to be saying, look, I saw James Bond around me a couple of times,
I know,
you know,
yeah.
Or I saw, you know, what's his face, the detective from Pink Panther, you know,
yeah.
Is it Clouseau?
Clouseau, isn't it Clouseau? I think
something like that.
It's so weird, isn't it? Like how Trump, he just came straight out of the gates, just like saying, "Everyone's against me. All the governments attack me." Like he just came out like shot fired at everyone, being tapped, being spied on. Just like all of these, you know, the people that I guess are supposed to somehow unite. Not that they, of course, you know, they are separate in their own ways, but they're trying to somehow unite to make a country work. He's just fucking straight out of the gates. Everyone's against me. The only thing that's going to work here is me and my office. Everyone else is fucked.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That seems to be his ideal. He's definitely a man against the world.
Yeah, he really is.
So to that end, I reckon the most fitting song I could think of was Kanye West's Through the Wire.
This was like, such a tune.
Yeah, this was his debut single. And this kind of really put him on the map as a rapper. No one had really acknowledged Kanye as an MC before this because he'd done a lot of production.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
Jay-Z
and other Rockefeller artists, but he'd never come out with a tune that he'd rapped on himself.
Yeah.
Sort of in, you know, on the main stage. So, yeah. Big salute to Kanye.
And this one as well. So it's you can really, really hear that his jaw is wired up because it's been straight after his car accident. That's right. Yeah. So he's literally spinning through the wire in his jaw.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then, of course, the FBI were listening through that wire in his jaw to all of his
raps. Trump.
To Trump.
That's why. That's why Kanye West was around Donald Trump.
Yeah. Inspector Clouseau. Sorry, I've just been told from the producers that was from Pink. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I got it right.
Yeah, so that's
why Kanye was around Trump.
He was, because he had a
wire
in his
jaw, and the feds were listening to all the feds, the CIA, all of them,
Putin,
the ABC, the MFI, the DEA,
Yep. Steps.
The BBC.
Steps were listening.
The HIV. All the initials, mate. All the initials were listening to Trump.
The NHS.
The NHS. VHS.
The VHS.
TDK.
Yep.
BBK, Skepta and them boys, they were all
everyone,
listening.
Everyone was
all
there.
The initials, pal.
Shit. No wonder he's paranoid.
NSYNC, because that looks like initials when you see it written down.
I reckon it sometimes. Does. Definitely
the
does.
USA.
Do you reckon that's why Kanye is like been losing his shit so much for like the last 10 years or so? Because he's just worn out. I reckon everyone's using him because he's so high profile. It's almost like Zoolander, yeah? Where like, you know, they use male models to get into all these exclusive places and get access to all these things that other people can't. So obviously Kanye having a wire tap in his jaw, they're using his profile to get him into all these places, like around Trump.
Yeah.
All these different things around there. And he's just exhausted.
Do you reckon that's why?
And that's why he's losing his shit.
Do you reckon that's why he runs his mouth so freely? Because he's got a wiretap.
Mate, these aren't even myths anymore. This is quickly turning into fact.
Oh, absolutely.
Holy shit.
Well, we're just uncovering stuff.
I love it. I love it. Such a tune as well, man. What an excellent choice.
Absolutely. Great Chaka Khan sample.
Here we go. Through the Wire by Yeezy.
Yo, G.
Right here on FUBAR. Subculture Pop.
Kenny Hot. I spit it through the wire, man. There's too much stuff on my heart right now, man. I gladly risk it all right now. Life or death situation, man. Y'all don't really understand how I feel right now, man. It's your boy Kanye Titter. Shutdown, what's going on? Yeah, I drink a boost for breakfast, an insure for dessert. Somebody order pancakes, I just sip the scissor. That right there could drive a sane man berserk. Not to worry, Mr. Ace to the Izzles back to Wizard. How do you console my mom? Or give her light support. Telling her son's on life support. And just imagine how my girl feel. On the plane, scared as hell that a guy looked like Emmett Till. She was with me before the deal. She been trying to be mine. She a Delta, so she been throwing that dynasty sign. No use me trying to be lying. I've been trying to be signed. Trying to be a millionaire. I used two lifelines. In the same hospital where Biggie Smalls died. The doctor said I had blood clots. But I ain't Jamaican, man. Story on MTV. And I ain't trying to make a band. I swear this right here. History in the making, man. I really apologize to everyone right now. If it's unclear at all, man. They got my mouth wired shut for like, I don't know, the doctor said like 6 weeks. You know, yeah, I had reconstructive surgery on my jaw. I looked in the mirror, half of my jaw was in the back of my mouth, man. I couldn't believe it. But I'm still here for y'all right now, man. This is what I got to say right here, though.
Yeah, turn me up, yeah. What if somebody from the shadow was ill? Got a deal on the hottest rap label around. But he wasn't talking about coke and birds. It was more like spoken word. Except he's really putting it down. And he explained the story about how blacks came from glory and what we need to do in a game. Good dude, bad night, right place, wrong time. In the blink of an eye, his whole life changed. If you could feel how my face felt, you would know how Mace felt. Thank God I ain't too cool for the safe belt. I swear to God, drive a 2-1-2. I got a lawyer for the case to keep us in my safe. Safe, my dogs couldn't tell if I looked like Tom Cruise on Vanilla Sky. It was televised. It's been an accident like Geico. They thought I was burned up like Pepsi did Michael. I must got an angel, cause look how death missed his ass. Unbreakable, what you thought they call me, Mr. Glass? Look back on my life like the ghost of Christmas past. Toys R Us where I used to spend that Christmas cash. And I still won't grow up. I'm a grown ass kid. Swear I should be locked up for stupid shit that I did. But I'm a champion, so I turn tragedy to triumph. Yeah. Make music that's fire. Spit my soul through the wire.
You know what I'm saying? When the doctor told me I was gonna have a plate in my chin, I said, dog, don't you realize I'll never make it on a plane now? It's bad enough I got all this jewelry on. She can't be serious, man.
Such a big tune. Big tune. Excellent choice, my brother. Through the Wire. Kanye West. Subculture Club. FUBAR. Nice one, man. Big
tune. Thanks, man.
You seem a little disgruntled through on that. through that. Usually when we play your music, makes me weak, tunes, we usually bop around the studio, snap some necks, but you just seemed a little bit upset at the end of that one.
No, I was just reflective, I think.
Is there anything you want to say? You were kind of not?
No, I think I was just quite reflective.
You were
reflective.
Kind of looking in the video camera and you're like, oh.
I was trying to figure out how to turn it on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It wasn't like maybe, tonight a little something...
Oh, yeah, there was, like, you're a snake, Hugh.
Yeah.
You're the type of friend that would let me walk around with, like, a milk moustache or something.
Yeah, I would. Hell yeah.
Because I just had, like, crumbs of cinnamon swirl.
Yeah.
The one I'd been eating earlier on in my beard. And you've been looking me dead in the face for, like, the last... Get out of the way so I can see the clock.
Sure.
21 minutes.
Yeah.
And you didn't say anything.
Yeah, I know. Because, well...
What, did you think it was jewellery or something? Did you think it was, like, new beard jewellery?
No, I just, like, I didn't notice because I was brought up on a farm and I was told that you shake someone's hand and you look them in the eye when you talk to them. Okay? Some of that story is true.
Mm-hmm.
The farm wasn't and the shake the hand thing wasn't and the look them in the eye thing wasn't.
But you were taught.
But everything else in that story was true.
Actually, you probably were never taught anything.
Not really. Not really.
Osmosis.
But yeah, I didn't actually notice. I'm sorry. I would definitely tell you, man. Except if you had a milk mustache, I wouldn't tell you because you got a black beard.
Yeah, that's
sick.
True.
That I'm very jealous of. I can't grow a beard. Forever jealous of your beard. But if you had a milk mustache, you'd look like an Oreo.
That would look incredible.
And that would be amazing.
That's true.
Who wouldn't want an Oreo mouth? No one. That's
most
right.
People. Probably.
No one. Absolutely. You're right. No one.
good chat.
Times. That was a fucking great chat.
Yeah.
Should we rewind and do it again?
Nah.
All right. No.
If I could get this handycam to work, then we could rewind and do it again.
Okay. I really do want to get that. Is there no power or something?
I reckon that's probably what it is.
Yeah, that's a real shame. I really want to see what's on that camera.
So do I.
It's a I'm sure someone.
Now.
We do have a radio station at our access here. I'm surely someone can figure out how to power up a handycam, and we can see what's on.
Yeah, I know how to power it up.
But that's what I mean. I'm surely someone has like the adapter there.
Oh right. I think it's got a USB thing, so you obviously power it from.
I've got a laptop right to my left. Shall we?
Yeah.
Maybe we can do it during the second song of Music Makes Me Weak.
Yes, indeed we can. The second one...
We are going to find out what's on that video camera.
We are indeed. The second song from Music Makes Me Weak is... It's not an issue that affects the world.
Mm.
It doesn't stem from an issue that affects the world. It's basically... It was just quite interesting. I love grammar. I love good grammar.
You do it, and you have an amazing vocabulary as well.
Thanks very much.
No, fucking no worries, bro. I'm trying to make up for the food thing in the beard.
Yeah.
Are we cool now?
Nah.
Shit.
So, the lack of an Oxford comma could cost a main company millions in an overtime dispute. And this is basically because there's been a lawsuit that these drivers have filed. It's a class action lawsuit about overtime for them. They're truck drivers. And it's hinged entirely on a debate that has divided friends and families and foes for years, literally,
right.
since its introduction, probably.
Yeah.
And that's the Oxford comma. And what's happened in this US courts of appeals for the First Circuit is basically there is a clause in this law that a lot of people, if there's three things in a list, will put a comma between the first and second, but leave the third with just an and.
An and,
right?
Yeah.
But then some people will put a second comma.
Who the fuck are? Who do they think they are?
Yeah. Well, it's they think they're proper linguists. They think that they're people that exercise proper grammar.
Right.
I suppose that's who they think they are. But the thing is, when it comes to law, that things that are going to affect people's financial situation becomes a lot more complicated.
Definitely.
And
I would put a comma and an and just to be safe.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what a lot of people will do.
Yeah, definitely.
You'd be of the latter.
Oh, I definitely want to play it safe. Yeah, all the time.
Okay, cool.
If I'm like confident crossing a road, I just won't. Or I'll wait in the middle.
Just wait in the middle of the road.
I'll wait in the middle.
Why don't you just walk in the middle of the road all the time so you technically never have to cross it?
I'll tell you how it goes after I go home today. I will let you know. I'm going to try that.
Do you live along any motorways? I'm hoping you do.
Are you trying to kill me again?
No.
This is 2 weeks in a row.
Trying to get you killed. There's a difference.
Okay, I don't know if there's much of a difference. You're trying
to kill
me by getting me killed.
I don't want to get my hands dirty. I'll put you in a situation that might bring about
my death,
the premature end of your life. But I'd never do it myself. I'd never murder you.
Don't know why I like you so much, but I still do. Even if you're trying to kill me, I still just look at you and smile.
I'm not trying to kill you.
I know you're not. I know you're not.
Just trying to get you killed.
Okay. So here we go.
So anyway, these truck drivers in 2014 sued Oakhurst Dairy, seeking more than 4 years worth of overtime pay that they had been denied. Maine law requires workers to be paid 1.5 times their normal rate for each hour worked after 40 hours, but it carves out some exemptions. Basically, this comma affected these exemptions. Right. So they, according to the company, they were one of these tasks was exempt from overtime. But according to the drivers, it's not exempt, and it all hinges on a comma.
Shit.
Yeah, it's crazy.
How do you think commas feel about? Like, that's a lot of pressure to put on a comma. Do you think they're equipped for it?
Well, commas are the most pressurized. That is definitely the out of all the punctuation marks, it has the most work on its shoulders. The biggest weight on its shoulders.
It does, because
most responsibility.
Because, like, say even like an exclamation, like how often do they get, like, you know, they might have like four or five people at the party. If you go, "Whoa, you wouldn't believe this! Check this out! Exclamation! Exclamation! Exclamation!"
Yeah. It's clear-cut,
like,
exclamation.
You're not going to do that with four. Like, commas are just left out there to hang by themselves.
Well, they have a lot of uses, commas.
They do, but you wouldn't see like a few. You wouldn't see a few in a row.
Oh, no, you'd never see consecutive commas.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like, there's a lot of pressure on them.
There is.
They've got a big job to fill.
Absolutely. Fuck. And it's always one man. They just send
one
their
man.
Best man.
They send their best man.
Send them the comma. So to that end, I'm going to, for these drivers in Maine, they're expecting compensation, and I hope they get it. I'm going to play Oxford Comma by Vampire Weekend.
So, Oxford comma, because of the comma in the Oxford Dictionary?
No, it's because it's called the Oxford comma.
Right. I don't see the tie-in.
Do you not?
No,
I'll explain it to you while the song's playing.
That was, of course, bro. Here we go. And during this, we're going to try to figure out how to get the video camera working.
Handycam.
So we can find out what's on it. And hopefully up next, Kip Anderson is going to be joining us, who is the director of Cowspiracy. And he's got a new documentary coming out as well called What the Health? And so, yes, we're very, very pumped about that. Here we go. Excellent choice, my brother. Vampire Weekend. Oxford comma for Subculture Club right here on FUBAR.
Speak to me that way. Especially
Vampire Weekend there, Oxford Comma, wrapping up Music Makes Me Weak and Subculture Club. Hugh and Michael here with you on FUBAR, and very, very excited about this. From the documentary Cowspiracy, which won just so many awards, we've got a director, Kip Anderson, joining us on the line right now. How you doing, man?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, man, absolute pleasure. Where are you right now?
Right this second, I'm in Venice Beach, actually, Los Angeles.
Ooh, shit.
How's the weather?
Right now, it's, you know, got the beach fog right now, but it's nice. It clears up in a few hours.
Nice.
Damn.
Nice.
Yeah.
But say if it doesn't, though.
Yeah.
It doesn't, it's still nice to be in Venice.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I've been a big Suicidal Tendencies fan, so I've always wanted to head out to Venice Beach and just go down there and get some tattoos and have a little skate. But, you know.
Yeah. Got a lot of those vibes here, that and the Jim Morrison vibes and all sorts of things. Jane's Addiction, all sorts of legends came from here.
Sick, man. Hey, so we are going to talk about your new documentary in a little bit, but I want to just stop down on Cowspiracy first, because straight up and down, like, I mean, I'll tell you that I have been a vegetarian for about 2.5 years or something now, and when I had heard about Cowspiracy, for me, I had never seen it because I was like, oh, look, as far as I can tell, it's going to be something about the slaughter of cows and the beef industry and all that. And I was like, I don't need to see it. I'm vegetarian, and it's probably just going to be such a big shock that, you know, to try to get people to not eat meat. And I was like, I've just always stayed away from it. So it wasn't until we got you booked on the show that I was like, okay, I need to see this now. And I watched it, and I was just absolutely blown away, man. I was blown away, and I was so misguided about what Cowspiracy actually was. And man, I'll be straight up and down with you, like, because I actually just watched it this morning. I cried about 4 times when I realized that nothing to do so much with that, but how that animal agriculture is one of the leading causes of the destruction of our planet. You know what I mean? And I just had absolutely no idea, man. Like, it's literally something that is just never in my life come across my radar. Like, how did it, I mean, obviously you stopped down a bit on this in the documentary, but like, how did you like initially start coming across all these things and the shock that you must have realized when, you know, finding out that nobody was touching on this subject at all?
Yeah, it's really, you know, it's like, it kind of follows how it was in the film, but the only difference is that it happened to me 9 years ago. At the same time, I watched some video, kind of like you're talking about, it was about slaughter of animals and how animals are treated. It was an ethic thing. Right away, I was like, oh my God, I want nothing to do with this. At that same time, you know, I just want to dig deeper after you kind of block everything away. Once you find the truth, then you're like, okay, I just want to jump into the truth. I don't want anything hidden from me anymore. And then I found out about that UN study, how raising animals for food is the leading cause of human-caused greenhouse gases more than all transportation put together. All trains, planes, automobiles, boats, everything all put together is still not equal to the impact of meat and dairy. And then then we go further and then find out about the rainforest destruction. Upwards of 91% of the Amazon rainforest is destroyed by this industry in some shape or form, whether it's from raising the animals, or a big part is from all the soybean and corn, the GMO corn that's grown to feed them. And then the water consumption and the water pollution. And it just keeps on going, all for one industry. But really the motivation for making the film was, like you said, is no one was talking about this. So this information is out there, but the fact that when I try to contact Greenpeace and Sierra Club and all these, you know, big environmental organizations, they wouldn't answer me. And I said in the movie I said for months, but in reality it was years. And so their betrayal was the motivation for making the movie more than the information itself.
And do you firmly believe that it was a betrayal that they were demonstrating, or did you maybe think that they just didn't have enough facts to kind of make such a bold declaration?
Well, that's what's interesting about each interview. It has a different spectrum of how much they know to kind of ignorance. You know, that one NRDC lady, the blonde hair, she says, oh, I think, you know, methane, I think it's caused from farts. You know, some people are just ignorant of the facts, where some people, a good example of one of the interviews of the Rainforest Action Network lady, I know her from before, and She knew exactly what I was talking about. She knows all this information. She is a vegetarian, a vegan, but she would not give us the answers because she knows her organization doesn't talk about it. And Greenpeace is the same way. The reason why they don't want to talk about it is because they know this and they know they're failing us. So if that's your entire livelihood is saving the planet, how would you not know the number one destroyer by far more than anything? It's like a lung association It's like the Lung Association not knowing about cigarettes. I mean, that's how big it is.
It would help if lungs didn't know about cigarettes.
Well, man, that's what it seems like. This is a bigger hoodwink, a bigger scandal than the tobacco industry. It's like, you know, something of this scale where people have been in, like, that's what's so crazy about it. Like, even for people that haven't seen Cowspiracy, like you were saying, to put it into perspective, like even of water use, how much water is used to raise and get beef from the farm to the table. Like, even making one single hamburger is 660 gallons of water to produce. Now, you think about the little bits and pieces that you do around the house to try to save energy, switching off a light, having a short shower, turning off the hose, checking your sprinkler, all these things to try to conserve energy and conserve water. 660 gallons for one single hamburger is equal to 2 months worth of showers. That is insane. Yeah. That's 2 months worth of showers for one little hamburger. And people are not even aware of it. No one is aware of it. It's insane. Do you think that people like Greenpeace and like RAN and stuff like that, are they not wanting to talk about it because is it the goods disparagement law that you can actually get sued for libel if you say anything against the animal agricultural industry that affects their profits, that you can be sued or, you know, even worse?
Right. That's a small part of it. Really, the big part of it is that they're more concerned with profits over the planet. They're more concerned about their sustainability of their own organization, growing their organization, getting more donors, getting more members than they are of telling the full truth. And we, after the film, we actually found a whole marketing packet that a few organizations chipped in on, and they studied to see if they would tell the truth about at least some of it about animal agriculture industry, to do a whole campaign about meat and dairy. And the conclusion is that it would not gain membership and it would not be a quote unquote win campaign. So they scrapped it. You know, they do things that they feel is a win campaign rather than the most important thing that people need to hear. In the entire, but hey, you know, nothing's even remotely close. They'll just shelf it for these other things that are more of a victim perpetrator, where you can point the finger at someone else and, you know, make the person who's donating or the members not feel guilty that they're part of it.
And what was the particular sort of event or moment that opened your eyes to this, and made you decide that you wanted to be the person that kind of brought this to light?
Well, again, is in the film, we don't really say the motivation, but really I kind of do. The motivation was that these organizations were not contacting me back for months. And this is my first full film, but I've been passionate in film. But it was really years. And then while those years is, you just research more and more, you know, most of that film research was done before the making of it. You know, the making of it is more of a recreation of what has happened to me over the past, you know, 6-7 years. All in, you know, it looks like in the span of about 2 months, but a lot of that happened over the years. So the more you know, the more you're just, you know, like you said, when you watch the film, you're blown away just after one thing after another. And then how are people not talking about this? Our planet is being eaten alive before our eyes, and no one knows about it. And we're the ones to blame. You know, look in the mirror and we talk about these pipelines and the oil industry and all these bad things happening. You know, it's easy to point the finger at Shell or these other organizations, but really you have to look in the mirror first.
100%, man. I mean, it's not, and even obviously in Cowspiracy as well, as it touches on the fishing industry and how, you know, like because of all of the pollution from the farming going into our oceans and going into it and overfishing as well, that we could have a fishless ocean by 2048. Literally no fish, no fish in our ocean at all. So, man, it It is so insane that like nobody's talking about it now. Has since Cowspiracy came out, are you finding a big shift? Are you finding a shift that it is becoming a lot more awareness that it is out there now? Companies are starting to talk about it more. There is more information accessible. They're not, you know, like a lot of these people like Greenpeace and stuff. They're not just focusing on palm oil and mining and coal, which they were previously saying are the main reasons that there is so much of the Amazon forest is gone. They reckon that could be gone in 10 years. The Amazon forest could be completely gone. Are you finding there has been a wind of change since this?
Yeah, mostly when, you know, in the U.S., the meat and dairy industry is so powerful. I feel like, you know, similar to Australia, really. But when you travel to Europe, places in Europe where they don't have such a stronghold, and you have a bunch of different countries, it's almost like little bit different groups of communities that you can have grassroots information, and things aren't completely trolled by one entity. Whereas the meat and dairy industry, the lobby power and the money is so powerful, they can infiltrate in government, infiltrate in these organizations, as you see in the film. So in the U.S., it's not happening as fast as what I see in Europe. I see it happening in different places. I see it happening in more progressive cities. But it absolutely is happening so fast. And along with, you know, this new film, the health industry, when you find out about the health impacts, then that's all coming out now. When you combine those two along with the ethics, it's just, you know, this is the fastest thing that's happening, you know, of any, say, movement of the past, you know, long, many, many, many years. So it's an exciting time to be, even though it's quite depressing when you see the film. At the end, you see the inspiration and all the inspiring things that are happening, and are happening really fast.
And do you believe that there's time, if things are turned around, for you know, the effects to be staved off or even halted completely?
You know, I feel, you know, it's kind of like atonement. Like, we're all going to die. We're all going to die sometime. But the whole thing is, how do you want to live?
Hang on, what? So, what did you just say?
Oh, I said,
we're all going to die one day? What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
We had a doctor.
Sorry, man, just kidding.
We're at our premiere, one of the doctors in the film, he says, everyone here is going to die within 50,000 hours or something like that. I was like, oh, yeah, that's impressive. but it's like, well, while we're here, how do you want to live? And then, you know, do you want to be tied to this industry where you're just essentially, you know, the next film really goes into it, where you're a puppet? You know, you think you have control, and like, oh, I love meat and I like meat and dairy. And really, you're just totally, totally a puppet that's they were the ones who force fed you that. And so whether, you know, it's not too late or not, it's not too late for yourself to be liberated and feel so incredible. You know, I know you said you're vegetarian, but like the next level is when you get dairy out of your body, that's when you really feel the physical effects and the, like the more mental, the lightness and the spiritual effects that I was surprised when I went vegan. But so it's a fun transition to go through.
Yeah, no, it's true, man. I guess another thing for me as well is like being a vegetarian for me, I was like, oh, well, I just want to do, you know, a bit that I can to help, you know what I mean? I try to recycle, I try to use less, you know, plastic bottles or little things that I just think may have some small impact. I'm trying to do my little bit, you know what I mean? I've always, in the back of my mind, kind of, and I'm sorry if this offends anyone out there, but I've always, in my mind, kind of thought of vegans as kind of hipster assholes. Do you know what I mean? Just being honest, I've kind of always thought of it like I've associated with that, so it's never really crossed my mind. And Huey loves cheese. All right, Huey loves cheese. When I gave up meat, I was like, I've still got, like, you know, meat-free cheese. That's my, you know, it's my thing or whatever. But after watching Cowspiracy this morning, I just felt completely compelled, 100% to I will now go vegan as well.
Are you going vegan?
100%. Right, so. 100%. I was literally sitting there in my life thinking, what dairy products do I have and how easily could I replace them? And I was like, so easily.
Yeah.
I could replace them so easily. And I'm now a hipster asshole, and I'm proud of it.
All right, congratulations! I'm happy for you because that means more meat for me.
Bro. Yeah, it does, bro.
do you think Kip that man was, you know, I just wanted to touch on your labeling of carnivorous humans as like puppets. Do you seriously believe that this is the desire to eat meat is a kind of instinct that's been force fed to humans by the meat industry?
Yeah, so a new film, What the Health. I thought I'm looking through my sent emails. I don't know if I sent that to you, but I'll send you the private link. It went fully. We launched yesterday officially, whatthehealthfilm.com. You can watch our new film, and it goes deep into this. And so, I mean, the bottom line, you know, the biggest misconceptions of humans, I mean, one of the most dangerous in mankind, period, even up there with religion, you know, people say religion was one of the deadliest things, is the misconception we are omnivores. Omnivores is a direct label. Like, it's something you can look in a physiology book. It's something that it's not an opinion. It's fact of what your anatomy is and who you are. And what we are is we're not even close to omnivores. We go into an animation in this in the film. We are frugivores. We are frugivores. Our relatives are chimpanzees, close to an ape. They eat 95% from all plants, from plants, and they get plenty of protein. The strongest animals in the entire plant. They're all of them. They're vegetarian. All vegan. Actually,
Can I interject there? Because one time I was watching Uncle Attenborough on planet Earth, and that, innit? I called him Uncle Attenborough.
I love that.
I feel like I've grown up with him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, sick.
And I was watching some quite surprising footage of a chimpanzee. I don't know what you call a herd of chimpanzees, but there was a group
straight
of them.
Gang.
Yeah,
yeah,
straight gang 5%. Of chimpanzees.
Yeah, basically. You know, I know you say they killed another chimp or they ate some other animal.
They
right?
did. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what they do is they're.
Do you think that was force-fed to them by the meat industry? Do you think that they watched the video?
Excellent marketing. Excellent marketing.
5% of the protein that chimps get, they get it mostly from ants. And then every now and then they kill a small animal. 5%. And so our body can't contain it. But that's the thing is to be human and to be humane is that last 5% of protein, you know, they're living in the wild, is that we've evolved to be humans. We're not apes anymore. So that 5% transform into plant meat rather than animal meat, where we don't have to do, you know, when you saw that footage, you're like, oh my God, they're it's just crazy that they're doing that. Well, haven't we?
I was almost just surprised, really. Mm. I just thought they're wild animals. They got to eat something. And that's how I look at us. I just think, I don't know, like...
I'm a wild animal. I need a hamburger.
Yeah, no, just the sort of top of the food chain type thing, you know? I just think, vegans don't get angry when lions go out hunting.
Mm. Well, that's the thing, is we're not lions. Because
no, but we're just, for me, we're just sophisticated beasts.
Well, I tell you, Kip, there you go.
I was just going to say, again, when you watch the film, you'll see our bodies are not designed for it. Our bodies, our mental stability is not designed for it. If you ask a six-year-old kid, we are not a lion. A kitten, what do you call a small lion or a tiger or a cat,
cub.
Whatever?
Cub.
Yeah, cub.
Whatever you want, it can't do anything to you. Do you get it?
Right.
Yeah, sir.
When they kill an animal, it's part of who they are. If you gave a child, a six-year-old, seven-year-old, a knife and told them to kill a rabbit or what, they cannot do it. It's not part of who they are as our foundation. So what that leads to believe so is that we've been jaded, and through society and through this industry, we get jaded by around 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old. And then by the time, you know, you're an adult, you think this is normal and this is what it's supposed to be. But at the core level of who you are as a person, you do not believe in killing an animal. And if you do, you know, their next film, we're looking for people to film if they claim they're like a spiritual and ethical person, to have an animal with them for a month and then, you know, kill them with their own hands or their knife. And if they think they're an animal, then with their own teeth and their own hands. And it's just a discomforting thing. But that's just, that's just part of it. The leading cause of heart disease, cancer, and diabetes, the number one association is from eating animal products. We have not evolved to be omnivores. If we have, these diseases would not be part of it.
It's so insane, isn't it? Because, I mean, I've just grown up my whole life thinking, and even a big thought of going vegetarian was like, oh, okay, but what am I going to replace it with? Because meat's so good for you. It's the protein. Fish is so good for you. I need to have salmon. I need the omega-3. I need all these things. So shit, now I've got to be really, really conscious about how do I replace those, the nourishment in my body. Because obviously now things like that are getting debunked very, very quickly. What are some of the things that you are aware of that not only replace those, but are actually far, far better for you?
So, what I'm looking forward to, when, especially both you guys, when I send you this film, because we go so deep into this. So essentially, the protein myth is another marketing gimmick created by the meat and dairy industry. Completely manufactured, completely fabricated. Just to give you an example, an interesting fact we learned in the film, human breast milk has less protein content per gram than any mammal on the entire planet, less than a rat. I mean, literally anyone. So what it is, our bodies, and the way our physiology is, we're designed to have not that much protein, and protein is in everything. The first, you know, year or two when I was vegan, I, like most people, I was like, where do I get my protein? And then you realize protein is in everything. Every single thing you eat has protein in, essentially. So the bottom line is you don't even have to worry whatsoever about protein. And once you realize that, then it makes everything so much easier. But if you want protein, you get it from you know, leafy vegetables, from beans, from grains, literally from anything you eat.
That's insane. That's insane. So there's that, the obviously going from the effect of in cowspiracy, going from the effect of farming, from agricultural farming industry, and the effects on the planet, and then the new documentary, What the Health, is more about, is it more about the effects on the human body?
It's about the effects on the human body, and the exact story playing out is that you know, we've been basically been played by this industry. Who they use to manipulate data, studies come out. The instead of the environmental groups, it's the health organizations, American Heart Association, American Diabetes, Cancer Societies, the Pink Ribbon Campaign, how they're in collusion with these industries, along with the pharmaceutical industry, because the pharmaceutical industry is the huge winner for humans to think that they're omnivores. And if you don't believe it, keep on eating your meat. By the time you're 50 or 60, no doubt, you know, you're going to have one of these diseases. You're going to be on pharmaceuticals the rest of your life. So we go in the studies of that. It's more of an adventure, just like Cowspiracy, finding out the links and the studies, and then what studies are hidden from us, what studies are shown to us that are not real. Every single myth that you've ever heard, the high carb, high fat, you know, or low carb, high fat diet, the paleo diet, we debunk that, you know, like another marketing thing.
Dude, debunk that, man. That's crazy, because that is something definitely that, I mean, paleo diet, that's still a vegetarian diet though, isn't it? But it's more high protein based, or is that?
Well, that's the funny thing. A true paleo diet is almost all vegetarian, because back then when we were eating small animals, hardly ever, we didn't have refrigeration. But at the same time, the paleo people did start eating meat at that time. Paleo people only lived to around their 30s. Wow. And recently they just discovered the bone structures. They had osteoporosis. Their teeth were falling out. They had terrible teeth. They had basically horrific health. And this is who we want to model
ourselves. British people in general.
So it's pale. The funny thing is, like, why would you want to model yourself?
Sorry, Kip. Keep going there.
It's a good one. Why would you want to model yourself someone who lived 40,000 years ago that wasn't even healthy, when you can model yourself on someone who's going to live 40,000 years from now? Do you want to be part of the past, this bloody barbaric past, or do you want to be part of this new compassionate future where you're just living and thriving with everything, you know, all as one, and just living better and more healthy than you ever have in your entire life?
Now, I really genuinely, like, it's when I put a little thing on my Facebook last night saying, oh man, I've got you know, excited to have this dude on the show tomorrow, but now this means I've got to watch Cowspiracy over breakfast this morning. I'm like, fuck my life, this is going to be horrendous, right? You know, because I thought it was about, obviously I said it was about slaughter and stuff, but watching it, and I was like, oh my days, like, it really genuinely has changed my life. I thank you for that, my brother. I can't wait to see What the Health. I know that's going to be a similar thing too. But one thing, it's going to be a similar eye-opener in that respect. One thing I did really trip me out as well from Cowspiracy, just to revert back very quickly, but still relevant to this new documentary, What the Health, as well, is to see that as far as the FBI are concerned, that animal activists are considered number one terrorists in America and probably around the world, and that there is, like, literally thousands of activists have been killed over the last couple of decades. How do you feel? Like, have you had threats on you from the industry? You're obviously still pushing forward because you've made a new documentary debunking a lot of these things and a lot of these powerful, powerful industries. How are you coping with it? You got bodyguards. You know, you got a vegan gun up down your pants. Like what?
A vegan. You just got a vegan.
You got a vegan. You know.
I mean, it'd be nice to, honestly. Just recently, something happened. I'm not going to go into it. But it's definitely can be a little scary. But, you know, as in the film, he said, you know, for about a few days or a week or so, after interviewing those people that you see in the film that really scared us, you know, it got really dark. We put down the camera. But then the fear of not doing anything supersedes the fear of doing something. Like, if we don't do anything, we're all dead. We're all living this, you know, this essentially this lie that we're not even being true to ourselves, true to anything that we're living for. So what's the point? So the fear of not doing something totally supersedes that. So we just have to keep on doing it. We're all, you know, there's all things that we can fear, but it definitely gets a little sketchy sometimes, especially recently. But I feel, you know, it's kind of a cliche or whatever, but we're all doing this together. We have so much supporters, and it's the people who share this film. They put this film, like in South Sydney and Melbourne, we have the biggest screenings anywhere in the entire world. And it's these people who are showing the film have just as much risk as we do. And in the people and who are showing these films in Idaho, in Utah, all these places where they have the AGAG law, it can be considered a terrorist act to show this film. Mm. So they're the ones putting themselves out there. We're not even doing that in, you know, we stay in like sunny, safe California. So it's you know, it's a community thing that we're all taking part of it. But it's, you know, it's just promoting compassion, really.
So you obviously don't want to go into the details of what's happening, but are you actually okay at the moment, or are you actually kind of right now under some serious threat?
No, I don't think it's threat. I think it's definitely watch. I think the industry, again, like there's something that within about 2 weeks that gonna, you know, if you follow What the Health or Cowspiracy, there's a video I did a personal video that actually showed what happened, and I'm not going to go into it. And then, you know, once you talk to a lot of people, I think what is people are trying to find information to, you know, either debunk you or get stuff on you more than physical threats. It's more of, you know, trying to get information and scare tactics. But again, you know, I'm just so busy, don't have time for that. Just got to keep on going, shining the light, really.
And have you extracted yourself from any social circles where there are like meat eaters? Because you are definitely like super passionate about this. Mm. And it's obviously been a massively changing discovery for you. And you know, it's a very unique sort of, well, not unique, obviously you've got loads of support, but you being the kind of spearhead of bringing this message puts you on a very unique path. Does that mean that you only hang around with vegans?
No, and actually I when I talk to, you know, I go to say animal rights conference or vegan conference, I say it's really important to not, there's so many vegans that go in the vegan bubble, and I did that for the first year because, again, usually just so most people are vegans, you're empathetic. So when you see an animal there, you don't see meat, you see an actual animal, so it's hard. But I had a realization where I need to go to barbecues. I go to all my friends' barbecues. Most all my friends aren't vegan. I go to Thanksgiving, and just my presence creates a conversation. I don't say anything. They'll just ask certain things. My niece, the turning point that happened for me is at the time she was 6 years, 7 years old, and I finally went to Thanksgiving for the first time, and they said, "Why don't you eat meat?" I'm like, "I don't want to eat animals." She started making fun of me, and I'm like, "This is why I'm not going to go. This is why I'm not going to go to Thanksgiving. I don't like being around these type of things because everyone does these immature, make fun of." But
then you realize she's six.
Yeah, exactly. But she's so sweet. It's so weird. And then a month later, my sister said, "Guess who's vegetarian now?"
No way.
That made me realize anybody who's doing those immature comments or trying to argue or that, they have something in them that's stirring up. It's the indifference that's that. And then so I realized after that, you know, just by showing up makes a difference. And I don't even say anything. Yeah, so now I feel it's really important.
That's it, man. I can quite honestly tell you that, I mean, as I said, I've been vegetarian for about 2.5 years. After watching Cowspiracy, genuinely, I am vegan now. I am not going to, I would never preach this on anybody. I would never, if somebody wants to eat meat while we're out, that is totally their decision. I would never put that on anybody. It's just I make my decisions, you make your decisions, and that's totally fine. You know what I mean? But it has changed it for me. Now, this has all been some deep and deep and heavy stuff. We are just about out of time.
I need to
ask one very heavy question. I know this is pretty full on, but it's a question that has to be asked. How is it working? Oh my God, with Leonardo DiCaprio! Fucking hell, he's the executive producer. Oh my days! Tell me everything. What does he smell like?
Well, you know, I'm getting ready to jump on his yacht in here in a couple hours, but no, just hats off to him that he was after we finished the film completely, then he jumped on board, so it's not like he was working with us. But and he at the time he wasn't even vegetarian, so he just knew that this information had to be out there. So hats off for him to do that, because a lot of people, he's not even vegetarian. You know, he's done more for an environment than most vegans sitting at home eating potato chips. But I barely have a personal relationship with him because he's A, so busy, and two, he has, they call it, you know, key. People surround him, you know, he's essentially a walking industry, and they were not very happy with him jumping on board with this film at all.
Right.
So they don't let us get too close to him, but he's super legit, very passionate. All he wanted to talk about is the environment. But, other than that, that's all I know. I'm still waiting for the yacht cruise.
Amazing. Kip Anderson, congratulations on Cowspiracy and What the Health. It's just been premiered now around the world. So when is it going to be? Is this one going to be on Netflix and everything as well?
There's a good chance it'll be on Netflix, but not for another 3 months. So whatthehealthfilm.com, it's on there right now. And I feel you guys, I'll send you guys a private link, but I think you'll really like it. A lot of people already saying they actually, and as much as they like Cowspiracy, they actually like this even more because it's more personal health. So I think y'all like it.
Before you go, Kip, can I ask you a very important question, actually?
Yeah.
So have you ever... You know, obviously, Cowspiracy is a very popular title on Netflix. Have you ever Netflixed and chilled to your own production?
Ooh.
I remember, I'm telling you, my passion, my dream ever was to have a film on Netflix. You know, that was kind of, so to see it up there was really one of the most special things ever, that it's ever, really honestly, it's ever happened to me. It was a surreal moment when I was up there, and then to push play. I've never seen the whole thing through because I've seen it literally a million times. We're the one who edited it. But, you know, definitely started it for the first few minutes. Like, wow, I can't believe this.
What a diplomatic way to answer the question, have you ever fucked to one of your own films?
I know.
Oh,
Netflix and chill, my G.
No, maybe What the Health. Maybe What the Health.
Yeah.
The last, as you see in both films, they end very inspiring. So I'll have to fast forward it to the last, last 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That's the part you chill to.
But getting turned on by the destruction of the planet and ruining your health is a pretty niche porn
it's
group.
It's a proper boner killer, that, isn't it? It's a proper boner killer.
Amazing. Kip.
I hate when I'm having sex and I find out that the Amazon might not be here in 20 years' time.
I know. It fucking breaks my heart. And
well,
my
there's
boner.
A sense of urgency, though. So it's
that's
like
true. That's true.
Come on, babe. We need to do this right now. Hey, Kip Anderson, thank you so much for everything that you've done and everything that you're doing. And it's been an absolute honor having you on the show.
Ryan, thanks a lot, guys. Really appreciate it.
No worries. Cheers.
Damn, big chat. All right, man. You go back to Venice Beach and look out for Leo, all right? And don't forget to tweet me what he smells like. See you, my man. What an absolute legend, man. That was sick.
Yeah, what a chat.
How do we possibly follow up something like that? How do we? What do we do?
Well, you got to get up out of them shoes, bro. They're leather.
I know.
You're vegan now,
uh-oh,
bro.
Spaghetti or no more Air Force Ones for you.
You're
Huey.
In the army now, boy.
It's true, man. Got to change my life.
Yeah.
The only way I think we could really follow up such an amazing chat is with Kelly Jade.
Oh, my God. Is she here?
Kelly Jade up next.
Subculture Club on FUBAR Radio. Leave me alone, go burn down the madness so we can finish.
is Spring King. Tell me if you like to, right here, Subculture Club.
What was the title of that song?
Tell me if you like. If you tell me if you like to.
Okay, cool. I thought you said tell me if you like to ride him.
No, by Spring King.
But you said right here.
Right here, I'm Fubar. Yeah. Subculture. Mm-hmm. Tell me if you like to ride him down the street to the shop. Not like, you know, my pony. Not like that at all. What are we talking about? Maybe we should do this.
Hey, man, who's that cat coming down the street?
I don't know, but it sounds to me like
Kali Jai, didn't it?
Isn't that beer?
The wonderful Kali Jai with Weird News.
Hello.
Oh, I love.
Hi.
That's a lovely t-shirt you got on.
Thank you very much. It's Blur.
I thought so.
Yeah, man.
It's the magic.
Magic Whip.
Yeah, that's it. Last Blur album.
Magic Whip.
I'm feeling the summer. I think that's why I'm in such a good mood today. It's only a little bit sunny, but it proper affects my mood.
Is that what the Miracle Whip is? I thought it was like the Kanye lyric, I push Miracle Whips.
No, it's Magical Whip.
Oh,
the Magic Whip.
Not Miracle Whip.
Miracle Whip is a brand of dessert in America.
He
made it was a double entendre.
Right.
You got mayonnaise, colour bends.
Yeah.
Whip is a mayonnaise. Mayonnaise, colour bends, I push Miracle Whip.
Yeah, gotcha.
The genius that is Kanye West on his first album.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah, but this is Blur.
This is Blur.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kel.
Damon Albarn, Kate, Kanye West, what's the difference?
Actually, I'm surprised they haven't done something together yet.
So am I.
Not like that.
I went there.
Oh, you were talking about just sex.
yeah,
okay, cool. I was alluding to something creative.
Okay.
Sex is creative. I have done a standing on one hand before. That's fucking creative.
Guys, my mom's listening in today.
Oh,
so I'll just say that.
Oh, no, is this a really bad time to say that she's a mega, mega hot babe?
No, that's good.
Or is this a good time
to
say that?
It needs to be said on air.
She is absolutely, what a gorgeous, gorgeous woman.
Yeah, I've heard your mum is very beautiful.
I've shown you her before, haven't I? That sounds really creepy.
Yeah, so your mum's listening, Kelly Jade.
I've just got a message through from the producer saying, please don't be a creep. Hey.
She's deleting the message.
Can you please not get in the way of true love, people?
Oh, all right. Right. Shall we talk about some weird shit?
Yeah.
No. It's not like we've been talking. I want to talk about your mum more.
Oh, all right, go on.
No.
That's not weird.
You got three questions.
Got three questions, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing weird.
What's her favourite music?
She loves everything, but she's a big fan of De La Soul.
Writing this down.
Wow.
De La Soul. Yeah.
De La Soul, Bjork, Happy Mondays, Blur.
Yep, okay. Favourite wine?
Oh, I'm going to get in trouble for this. I don't know. She does like a really nice rosé in South Kent somewhere.
Perfect, rosé.
Yeah.
Third question is, well, is she free at about 8 p.m. on Sunday night? Because I'm going to take her out for a drink until a hip-hop gig.
No, she's not. She's definitely not.
I think she is.
No, she's definitely not.
Hang on,
wait,
I'm getting another message from the producer saying she's just tweeted in saying she is. Yay! Oh!
Yes, and I can
see
her
shaking. We've gone from being best friends to now I'm your stepdad.
That's gross.
Okay, now we definitely need to move on.
All right, come on then.
Okay, so we've got, we're playing we're playing a guessing game where we've got three sounds here that we've got to try to guess what they are, what the story means, and then you are going to tell us what it actually is. All right, here we go. Number one. That is scanning a baby at a supermarket and chopping the tag off afterwards.
Yep,
that's definitely
exactly
what that is.
Very creative, but no.
Is it a baby playing, what's that game called? One of the first video games ever, Pong.
Ping.
Is it Pong?
No.
It's a baby playing. Let me finish.
Oh, sorry.
It's a baby playing Pong and then crying because it lost and then self-harming.
Oh.
Oh, he
taking
went dark.
It there.
Wow.
Michael?
Yeah, the Pong bit was a bit unrealistic. Who plays that game nowadays?
Okay, so I've got a clue.
Sure.
Okay, so what did Johnny Bravo and Jedward have in common?
The hair.
Yes. Okay, and it's pretty impressive, right?
Yeah, yes.
It's a pretty impressive
Johnny
hire.
Bravo's even more because it was on a better person.
Wow. Ooh. I mean, that's debatable.
I hate Jedward is the point I'm trying to illustrate.
I just, as like the Cowspiracy guy was saying, that they're all the government, all the farming industry will attack you viciously for saying that. So are Jedward fans. I'm scared of them.
Jedwardians, I think they're called.
Is that what they're called? Jedwardians?
Yeah.
Louis Walsh, basically.
Oh, yeah. So are you still with me? So
yeah.
Big hair. Okay, so a baby has beaten both of them with his natural hair to the point where his quiff actually showed up on the ultrasound.
Wow. What?
I know, right?
A quiff on the ultrasound? Oh my gosh, no way.
His name is Oliver Dunn, and he's from Idaho, and he's got a 5-inch quiff.
He's got a quiff already and he's not even been born.
How can you have a...
He's been born now.
Oh, he's been born.
But he had a quiff when he was inside his mother too.
Have we got a picture of the ultrasound?
I don't know, FUBAR, but it's definitely online.
Wow. Yeah, so, I'm sure we'll get a picture of the quiff ultrasound and we'll tweet it out at FUBAR Radio. Make sure you go check it out.
And even his mom said that he looks like he's been electrocuted. If you're going to say that about your own child, then it's going to be pretty intense.
Imagine.
That is insane.
I know, right? And when he was first born, people from other wards were actually going into her room just to look at his hair. So like some sort of circus freak.
Incredible. Maybe they were like interns at like hair salons. You know, you go in and look at the best example of the haircut, and then you learn from there. Maybe I bet it's pictures in certain barbershops. You know, like you always get the neighbourhood barbershop.
Oh, here we go. We got a photo of him now. Oh. Wow.
Is it good?
He's very cute.
So Jimmy Neutron.
That is insane. I make sure you go and check that out.
He does look like he's been electrocuted.
The thing is, it's very cute as a baby, but going into adulthood, it's like you can only have two jobs. You can either be in a boy band or a hairdresser.
Yeah.
Everything else.
And in all honesty, I don't think I trust a hairdresser with a haircut like that.
Actually, I don't know. I was in Sports Direct yesterday, and the guy in there had a pretty amazing quiff. So could that be the third option? Hairdresser, boy band, or assistant manager at Sports Direct.
There you go.
All
Sports Direct employees have quiffs.
Do they really?
I think that's like...
It's a prereq.
Stipulation, yeah.
Do you know anything about sport? No. Do you have a quiff? Yes. Hired. Mm-hmm. Hired.
Go stand over there in the Adidas section.
That's incredible. All right, let's jump into number two. Here we go. We're going to try guess what this is. Okay, let it something. It's making me think of like Frozen. Let it be.
Yeah, definitely.
Is it like, and then
let
also
it go,
made
let
me
it go.
Made me think of like, you know, the screaming goats. They had all the screaming goats were like kind of funny, little funny.
Oh yeah, let it goat. It seems.
Let
like
it goat.
Well so is there, has a frozen well goat been found somewhere?
No, but you got the goat bit right. Yeah.
Maybe there's going to be a goat musical version of Frozen.
That would be great, but no.
It would be the greatest of all time, or the goat.
Oh, far out.
Mind blown.
Not quite.
Do you want to know? Have you got more guesses?
I've got tons more guesses. Okay. Depends how much you want to hear.
I mean, give me your best one.
All right, my best one.
Take your time.
Because I want to remain friends.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Ooh.
All right then.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, as in I want you to talk to me after this.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, we got that. Yeah, we got that.
This is annoying. Goats are attending yoga classes in Texas. And I don't mean hipsters, I mean the animals. Yeah.
They're going to goat yoga class.
So basically, it's a normal yoga class, but you've got goats walking around eating shit.
How is that beneficial in any way?
Well, the class instructor said that it adds a different dimension of fun to the class, and yoga classes can be so serious, the goats add a little bit of fun and laughter. Sorry, yoga is meant to relax you.
Right,
it would send me into panic, and it would stink.
It would stink to high heaven.
And don't they, goats can get chargy. They can get chargy.
Yeah, exactly.
They charge you.
In some of those positions, you're
holding if you're
up
in, like, doing the downward dog, the last thing you want is a pair of horns going straight up your bum.
Yeah.
So you don't want that.
For real.
Trust me, Daddy, I've been there. you don't want to pet.
Do you think you guys would do it?
What, yoga? Or goat yoga?
Goat yoga.
I'd probably do the goat yoga for the bants. I don't think I'm relaxed enough to be able to do yoga.
I just like the idea of an actual goat leading a yoga class for other goats. Like, I thought goat yoga would be like, you know, legit goat yoga.
Yeah.
Yoga for goats.
Not that fun.
Goats aren't known for their... Are they known for their agility?
Well, they can scale mountains. Can't they walk on roofs?
Yeah, mountain goats are amazing.
They're
creatures.
Amazing. Yeah.
But I don't know how sort of flexible they are. Can they bend their leg behind their head?
Well, you know how like a girl's, like their arms, so they can push their forearm back behind their elbow.
Yeah.
Flexible. Goats can go like full 90 degrees.
How do you know that?
I don't. I just made it up. But I've found in my life, if you say things with confidence, people generally get on board with it.
Have you ever seen the film The Men Who Stare at Goats?
Yeah.
No, but I heard of it.
Yeah, Hugh's actually one of those men.
Yeah. Have you seen the sequel? Knows.
No.
The man that Derek goes through in yoga?
No.
No, it's sick.
Yeah, George Clooney's apparently in talks about reprising his role.
Wow. That is so weird.
But the weirdest thing is what people in the class are saying. So one new class member said that it made her feel so comfortable because nobody was watching her and the goats were a distraction. No kidding, it's a fucking goat.
It's a fucking
in
goat.
A yoga room.
Okay, well, so I like what you did there. No kidding.
Right. Oh, did you do that on purpose? I'm just naturally.
Yeah, you're amazing.
That hilarious. And this one is really annoying. Another person said, the goats are so cute, and now I found a new place to bring my dog. It's not a zoo.
So now you've got other animals.
It's not a zoo. So no, you're just pissing around, anymore. Pretending to do yoga.
Yeah.
But it's just an animal party.
That makes it sound so sinister.
It really does. It really does.
Yeah.
I love it.
So that's that. And I've just remembered the next one as well, which is even more annoying. Okay. Come on, let's play it.
Here we go, bang. Try to figure out what this is. Here we go.
I want to be a nun so I can marry a priest and we'll have a baby and name him Jesus.
Wait, what?
We need to hear that again. Let's hear that one again.
I want to be a nun so I can marry a priest and we'll have a baby. Name him Jesus.
If someone was listening in religious studies as much as they've been listening in music classes, they would know that Jesus' parents want a nun and a priest.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
So that's just my first observation.
All right. Jesus. I'm thinking that, yeah, that probably out of most of what I know about Christianity, sorry if this offends anyone, that makes more sense than most of the things that are being translated from the Bible. That makes more sense to me.
No.
I'm out. I've already got eyes watching me after saying that. I'm out.
Okay. So.
Tell.
A stray dog named Carmelo has joined a monastery in Bolivia. He's been given the formal title of Friar Bigoton, which translates to Friar Mustache. He has a puppy-sized habit, which is like the brown cape that they wear with the rope around the middle. Mm-hmm. And they say that he's been preaching to the fish in the garden.
Well, I love how you just drop mic then with a piece of paper. She was like, and I'm out. And I was out.
It's just ridiculous. I have nothing to say. I'm so annoyed with this story.
Oh, it's so good. That is so weird.
I mean, the pictures are cute, so
yeah,
definitely.
I'd love
look
to see a dog
them.
In a little brown habit.
But how do we get this from this?
I wanna be a nun so I can marry a priest and we'll have a baby.
But wait a minute. So wait, is the dog a nun or that you say it's called Friar?
Yeah.
Alright, so isn't that a cassock?
Well, I don't know.
That it would wear. Don't nuns wear habits and monks
well,
wear.
This is what the story that I found said. So there
right.
we go.
We're going with that.
Yeah.
We're going with that.
The dog wrote the story itself.
Yeah. Oh, Kelly Jones.
One of the
amazing.
Fish.
Love you forever. Can we steal you to stick around? Because obviously today's St. Patrick's Day. Mm. I've got a little St. Patrick's Day quiz for you guys up next.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sound good? All right, Kelly J, love you. Thank you so much for your weird as fuck news. Up next, St. Patrick's Day. Little quiz. Quiz with a difference, though.
Okay.
This is my own special quiz.
Oh, no.
It's coming up next, right after Cypress Hill, when shit goes down on FUBAR Subculture Club.
Like I said, my
Fubar Subculture Club. Hugh and Michael with you. Still got our bestest friend of the whole damn show, Kelly Jade,
yes,
in the studio with us. And it's great that you are sticking around because today, for starters, we need to just, you know, give a big shout out to St. Paddy's Day.
Mm-hmm.
All of our Irish friends and everyone celebrating it today around the world. Man, I was tripped out to find out as well, like, how many places around the world celebrate this day. It's insane. Like, so many countries, so many cities around the world all celebrate, like, you know, not just the Irish communities in those places, but, like, everybody gets on board and has a huge party today.
Mm.
It's crazy. It's much, much bigger than I just assumed that it would have been.
Mm.
So big shout out to everyone that's having a good day today, drinking Guinness and having fun. But right
now,
what
do you reckon St. Patrick thinks, though?
I don't know.
Like, it's like, you know, he led a good life, probably never had sex, probably never had any impure thoughts, always gave his last bit of, like, whatever the sort of currency was back then to the homeless, probably, you know, just sacrificed a lot. And then what do people do when he dies? Just get smashed in his name every fucking year. He's probably thinking, why? I couldn't do any of that shit. Yeah. But you celebrate the fact that I'm a saint by doing the very thing that I wasn't allowed to do.
Mm. Yeah.
That's a par.
That is true, man. Good on you, bro.
Yeah, yeah, man. Fight I just power. Had to speak out about it, man.
You know? Maybe there's going to be some questions on that in my little quiz right now.
Ooh.
Well, I hope not, because my rant will just be rendered invalid.
Well, only time will tell. You guys going head to head.
Yeah.
Hugh St. Patrick's Day quiz. Disclaimer, may or may not be true. That's right. We do need a little bit of a disclaimer on this one. This is going to be a little bit of a different quiz. Quiz with a twist.
That music sounds French.
Mm. Yeah, I was just about to say.
Well, that's where St. Patrick was from.
What?
Or was he?
Oh! Shit. See what you did there.
We're already there. We're already on our way there. Okay, question number one. I'm just going to answer this after each question. You're going to find out the answer. Question number one, St. Patrick's Day quiz. The Guinness Book of World Records originated as A, they're all multiple choice, A, it was a book of actual world records, B, it was a race to the pub to get a Guinness. Or C, it was a guy called Guinness who has a massive criminal record all around the world.
That one. C.
What do you reckon it was?
C.
I'm going to go A for some reason.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there. It's meant to be a bit of a weird quiz, so.
All right. Well, Michael Payne for starters. Bam. Wrong. Sorry, mate.
Wait, what?
Hey.
What was A?
A. You said A that it was about that was about world records.
Yeah.
Bam. But did you say, Kelly, that it was C?
It was a criminal guy.
The actual answer was C. The Guinness Book of Records is about a guy called Guinness who has a criminal record all around the world.
C.
Kelly J!
I know what I'm doing.
She's so good. She's so smart. And she can dance and she can sing. Triple threat. Triple threat. 1-0. Michael Payne, you're losing. Here we go. Number two. Where was St. Patrick actually born? A, Ireland. B, England. C, Wales. Or D, Trinidad and Tobago.
I'm going to let Kelly set pace on this one. She's obviously better at this than I am.
You've thrown me here.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're looking for the correct answer.
Okay, between D and B, I'm just going to say B.
B. So you're saying England. Okay.
Not Trinidad and Tobago.
No, it might be a bit far fetched.
I'm going to go.
Do it.
A.
Oh.
A for Ireland.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, for starters, I can tell you this much. Kelly J, what did you say? England.
Yeah.
Michael Payne, what did you say?
Ireland.
Guess what? You're both wrong. Trinidad and Tobago.
Get lost. That sounded too mental to be true.
Well, no, because the reason is because my mate Luke just went there and he's just come back, and I really want to go there, so I just wanted to bring it up in conversation. Trinidad and Tobago. I really want to go there. Number three, both wrong. Still Kelly Jade, 1-0. Third question. Okay, Chicago, each St. Patrick's Day, they dye their main river green to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. Why? Because A, they just love it, and now it's a tradition that they do it each year. B, they have a contractual agreement with Greenpeace and the American Irish community for a yearly cross promotion. Or C, it's actually always green from toxic waste and they only reveal it on St. Patrick's Day.
I'm tempted to say C.
Okay.
I know Kip, our friend from Cowspiracy, would have definitely said C.
Definitely, yeah.
But actually, he probably would have attempted to drink that river. Green juice. You don't think he gives love any green
no,
drink.
No. Oh, I'm dying from a kale smoothie. It's actually a toxic river. Kelly, what are you going with?
I'm going to go for A.
A? They do it because it's a tradition and they love it.
Oh, yeah.
Kelly J, well, for starters, got to say, bam, Michael Payne.
Oh, wait, I didn't even give an answer.
Yeah,
I kind of just said what Kip would say.
Oh, right. What's your... Yeah. What's your
Mine's going to be A.
Was it A?
No, he just said A.
A, that they do it for tradition.
Wrong.
B, that it's a contractual agreement between Greenpeace and the American Irish community for a yearly cross-promotion.
Wait, you got that wrong by answering A, didn't you?
She did. Yes. So, yeah, you did a smart thing by holding out there.
Yeah, I'm going to go B then.
You're going to go B?
Yeah.
So you think that the reason that they dye the river green is because it's a contractual agreement between Greenpeace and the local American Irish community?
Well, I don't know, but I'm going to answer that because Kelly answered A and got it wrong.
Okay, well, for starters, that's a bit weird, but it's a weird quiz. You're right! Yay!
Yes.
One. Yeah, they do it to save money.
Surely it's 6-1 to me by now.
That's why it's a cross promotion. They do it to save money.
There you go.
All right, I've only got a couple left. Let's jump into it. The lucky four-leaf clover. All right. Why are they lucky? Are they lucky because A, they're very, very rare? B, because they're big enough to wipe your butt with after a poo if you do a poo in the wild? Or C, they actually get you stoned? And nobody knows this. Not many people know this.
C.
I'm definitely
Michael's
going to
nodding his head like he
I'm
knows.
One of those that know.
You're both going C?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you both. No, they're really rare. That's why they're lucky. God, guys, come on. Both wrong on that one. They're really rare. That's why they're lucky. Okay, last one. Here we go. It's one apiece. This one's for the win. You can't pick the same one. Come on. Okay. Please, for the sake of the quiz, don't pick the same one. All right?
Okay.
Last one. In Irish folklore, leprechauns are actually what? A, blacksmiths and elves. B, fairies and shoemakers. Or C, pub owners and stock market brokers. Or D, rainbow conservationists and bare knuckle boxers.
A.
Okay, Kelly's going for blacksmiths and elves.
I'm going for these the closest because they're actually rainbow conservationists and pawnbroker owners.
Oh, well, Kelly. Oh. Michael Payne. We have a winner, Michael Payne! And there is nothing like gypsy trivia music to celebrate St. Patrick's Day quizzes.
Honestly, mate.
In the bag, mate.
Thank you, man.
Kelly Jade, I would love you very, very much, and thank you, and we will see you next Friday. Can't wait. Love you. Up next, so pumped about this, Matthew Horne, superstar actor, is going to join us right in the studio. Cannot wait. Don't go anywhere. You're on FUBAR Subculture Club.
FUBAR Radio presents
Sarah Love and My Stiggy.
Let's get on the line, an official, you know, certified OG in this hip-hop business, the one and only, the funky technician, Lord Finesse.
You just know something when you feel it. It's how it makes you feel.
Yeah.
It's what you feel when you hear it, whether it's the lyrics, whether it's the chords, whether it's the sound. It does something to you when you hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it don't do something to you, then I don't want to say it ain't good. I don't want to downplay anybody's music, but you don't have to sell good music on anybody.
Every Monday,
Sarah Love and My Stiggy
from 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio presents
Ian Boldsworth.
Can you stop putting pictures of John Holmes' cock on my
screen?
Sorry,
Abby put something for me to read on the shared screen, which is man with a 20-inch
right,
penis.
Abby,
so
you shouldn't be joining in with this sort of stuff.
Yeah, look at that.
Big ass.
Well, what's all the wrapping around it?
With bandage. It's too heavy to stay on, probably. It has to be bandaged to keep it on.
Can I quote back to you what you've just said?
Sorry, yeah.
And Julie just said it. The man's penis is too heavy to stay on, so they bandage it. Tell you now, the reason is not because it's too heavy to stay on. What is going on in this place?
Every Monday,
Ian Boldsworth,
from 2 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Can I sit next to you? Can you sit next to me? Get the stars out your eyes. Come and bring them to me. So long. I've been working on a plan, yeah. It's just that
I've been down so long. I gotta give me my word. Can I sit next to you? Can you sit next to me? Oh. I walk out to Memphis alone, 'cause you do it for me. I know you would. All the kicks from the sticks, all the kicks are in the room. I put all that aside, concentrate on you. All the kicks from the sticks, all the hits that we took, all them stitches we got, all our brains so good.
That a spoon with Can I Sit Next to You on FUBAR. It's a subculture club. Hugh and Michael with you, and we're very, very lucky, mate. We've had some big guests today, haven't we?
Kip
Anderson,
indeed.
The director of Cowspiracy. Mm-hmm. Kelly Jade, she's not tall, but she's a big deal,
massive deal.
But we always save the best for last. None other. TV star, theatre actor, all-round absolute legend, Matthew Horn joining us in the studio.
Good afternoon.
What's up, mate?
Did you say you've had the director of Cowspiracy in?
Yeah.
I loved that doc.
I love it. So good, huh?
It was so good.
He's got a new one out called What the Health. So check it out. It's on whatthehealth.com right now.
Okay, great. Yeah.
New one.
Oh, yeah, no, I loved that.
Did it change your life as much as it's changed Hughes?
And my shoes.
Well, Cowspiracy.
Yeah.
Well, has it changed your life? Are you not eating cows?
I was already vegetarian. I'm going to go vegan now. I just had to watch it this morning.
I know. Well, this is incredible.
It's a tough one, isn't it?
It is a tough one. The last email I received before I walked into the studio was a reminder to renew my TV license.
Right.
But that was counteracted with seeing the most incredible sausage roll on Twitter. Someone posted a picture of the most insane sausage roll, which obviously you will not be interested in.
I'm interested in looking at it. Trust me, I want that thing in and around my mouth, but I won't. But I won't. But I want it.
It's a sausage roll, not a beef roll. You know, it seems to me that all Cowspiracy is about is beef.
Mm. The pigs still drink the water, though.
Oh.
The pigs still drink the water.
Mm. Nah, do you know what? Just quickly on that, I was in Brighton.
Maybe we should just all eat horses then, because you can take a horse to the water, ooh, but you can't make it drink.
But there is actually, because we got a dog at home, and I noticed there's some dog food.
Don't eat the dog.
No, they're going to eat the dog. The dog's a cute little toy poodle, but there is some dog food in the house, and that's mm-hmm. made of horse, so I could just eat that.
That's true.
There you go.
Yeah.
Problem solved. Hey, just quickly, I was in Brighton on Monday and went to this little veggie cafe, so, and they had this like incredible list of veggie and replacement meals, like of meat meals that I'd ever seen in my life. When I went vegetarian, one of the biggest things I missed was like the hoisin duck pancakes, crispy duck,
sure.
little cucumber and a little spring onion, and you roll them up yourself and it's fun and it's delicious. They had vegetarian version of that, fake duck. It's called fuck.
Oh, was it not just a cucumber?
It wasn't just a cucumber. No, it was
that true or is that just a setup for the joke?
100% true.
It's called fuck.
Well, no, it should be, but it was definitely a fake meat-free.
That is a brilliant idea.
definitely.
Fuck.
It's definitely a. It's definitely it was, and it was delicious as well. It was really yum. I ate it.
Oh,
I've
got to
myself.
Get me some fuck, man.
Yeah, I've got
that's
to.
Really,
can I get to? If you go into a cafe and ask for two fucks, how much it would cost?
Fucked in the mouth as well.
Oh, man, lunch was pretty expensive. It was £180 just for lunch. I got fucked in the mouth twice.
Oh, I'm absolutely full of fuck here. This is what an afternoon. What a long lunch.
Oh damn, but that's all about problem solving, right? Trying to, what do I figure out what I eat? And this is a big part we were just chatting about before we went on air about being an actor. You've got to be a problem solver.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, that's part of it. I see it as problem solving. So you're presented with a line or a character, which is a challenge, and it's about how you resolve that challenge and become that person or deliver that line in the appropriate way.
You know, when in the actor's circles, right, you know, just say when you're at the pub and somebody drops a glass and smashes and everyone goes, taxi! And you're like, oh, fuck off, mate. People stopped saying that 10 years ago. How often in the acting circles does somebody go, here's your line, and you go, oh, snort it! How much does somebody say that?
I mean, you know, that's not, it's not one I've heard for a while.
For good reason.
But, you know, you do get that thing when people go for auditions where, how you doing?
Excuse
you're just coughing up some fuck.
No, just talking. I was actually having flashbacks of snorting scripts and eating fuck.
So, yeah, so when you go to auditions, obviously people get quite nervous. And so they would always go to the toilet.
I'm choking on nuts, which is very similar to choking on fuck. Could I please get some water? Sorry, guys, I'm choking over here. Thank you. Sorry, back to Matthew Horn.
Yeah, sure. So,
back to Matthew Horn.
Here we go.
Oh, you wonderful
that's
woman.
Sparkling.
Thanks, Lizzie.
That's going to give you some gas.
Is there any meat products in this? Sparkling water, good.
That's fully carbonated,
I'm a vegan.
So you're going for an audition and you go into the toilet to use the toilet, but you're also inevitably going to be looking at your script and going over your lines. So you do get the kind of thing where people go to the toilet to do their lines.
I like it.
So that would be the inside joke.
Thank you for debunking that. And I appreciate it. I feel good.
Fully debunked.
How much do you think you've sort of matured? Because obviously the first time I ever saw you on TV screens was in Gavin and Stacey.
Oh, man.
Right.
Which I'm still a huge fan of.
Yeah.
Shit never gets old.
Sure.
How much do you think you've matured as a thespian from then
till
now?
I've definitely matured in the sense of I've got older. Yeah. But... I have been an actor for 16 years now professionally, and I'm 40 next year. So just, you know, I mean, mathematically speaking, and I know this is your bag, I have 100% matured. But it's always been my thing to hopefully develop and get better. Whether that's true or not, that's not for me to say. But I always like, you know, sort of comparing myself to other people, which you should never do. I always like those actors that kind of, when you first become aware of them, they're quite shit, and then they get really good over time, rather than those actors who you just see and they're like, oh, I'm brilliant, and they'll just be that brilliant forever. I think it's much more interesting to watch a person grow.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I'd put an actor like Leonardo DiCaprio in the latter. He's always been brilliant.
He has. I've never seen him. I mean, I think I first saw him when he was Gilbert Grape.
Yeah, and, yeah. Going higher than before.
Know, and he was, you know, incredible. Incredible now. I mean, it's not to say that I don't like him for that reason. I think he's an amazing actor, but I do like those actors. Obviously, we're not going to name any names, but you just think, you've got something. But then, like 10 years later, wow, you're amazing. Yeah. I kind of like that.
Daniel Radcliffe?
Who's that?
Exactly. He's only Harry Potter to me, no matter what he's in.
Actually, I've just been nominated. This isn't a boast in any way, trust me. Let me get to the end. I've just been nominated for Best Actor at the National Film Awards.
Congratulations.
Wow. And I am in my category. It was for a film called Breaking the Bank, which was a movie that was out for just under 24 hours a couple of years ago. I don't quite know how I've got this nomination, but let me take you through the people that are in my category. Daniel Radcliffe, Eddie Redmayne, Sacha Baron Cohen, Ewan McGregor, and there was one other, and Shia LaBeouf. I don't know what you guys think, but I think it's in the bag.
Well, look, man, it is a heavy, heavy, heavy that lineup. That's a heavy lineup. But mate,
I mean, I've heard of some of them.
At the same token, like, mate, this is your alumni. This is like, you know, this is where you're at. Like, you know, we don't often get people on the show and not at least really announce more things about them than their name. And we were like, nah, it's fuck. Put the paper down. It's Matthew Horne. It's all we need to say. We don't need to say, oh, you remember him from. No, you fucking better know. You better know
Matthew Horne.
So you deserve to be in that, mate.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm surprised because it was a public vote. And, you know, that film was seen by an audience, and I'm sure, well, obviously, both of them enjoyed it.
Why the 24
two
hours?
For one night?
Was it 24 hours? It was like, or was it just a very short space of time?
That film I did is on tomorrow, and then I won't see it tomorrow. I won't go and watch it tomorrow. I'll go and watch it on Sunday, and then by the time it got to Sunday, it's gone. But so I don't know how that's happened, but it is, nonetheless, it's
massive achievement. Nonetheless,
huge. Yeah. Oh wow! Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm thrilled a bit.
So, Jack, you can get plus two for the award ceremony, and me and Hugh can, no.
I mean, you guys will be absolutely more than welcome. I don't know where it's taking place. Probably at Mackie D's in Croydon or something.
Maybe we can do like a Marlon Brando-esque thing, and you can send me to when you win, you can send me to. Politely decline the award.
That would be good.
In your place.
There are other people on this list who are more deserving.
Yeah. No, not even that. I'd say, you know, Matthew can't accept this award because he wants to make a stand against. We could make it like a cowspiracy thing.
Maybe. Fake duck.
Yeah, there you go. A stand against fake duck.
Yeah. Poor fake ducks out there. Yeah, I reckon. Who knows?
I only just found out that you're allowed to swear. Isn't it brilliant?
You can. Did you want to have a little shot? Because not many people get an opportunity on it. I'm sure you
brought it really in early.
I'm sure done lots and lots of radio interviews. And how many of those have you sworn on?
None.
Matthew Horne, we are about to break your radio swearing cherry. Anything you want, we're gonna. I tell you what. Why don't we do this? We're going to give you 30 seconds of profanity. All right?
No, I don't want to now. No. I don't want to.
Yeah, it's not
my style
to swear.
It's not attractive
when it's on a plate, is it?
Can you just do one?
Tit wank.
That's pretty good.
That's my favourite one, to be fair.
Tit wank was a good. It's all right. I was being polite there. That was terrible. But that's all right. Just slide into casual conversation.
Is this show eligible for the radio awards?
It is. We're up against Daniel Radcliffe, Eddie Redmayne.
No, we're up against Howard Stern.
Andrew Marr.
Steve Lamack.
Yeah.
Posthumously, John Peel.
Yeah.
It's in the bag.
Yeah.
It's in the bag after the tit wank.
Hey, okay, we're going to go to a song real quick, and then when we come back, we need to talk about.
We should probably talk.
We
should talk about my play.
We do need to talk about your play. All right,
what song are we listening to?
We've we're going to listen to Mogwai. Do you like Mogwai?
I do like Mogwai. Well, I like everything Scottish.
Do you? Okay, here we go. Mogwai, Teenage Exorcist on Fubar, Subculture Club. Hugh and Michael with you, and we have the legend that is Matthew Horn joining us in the studio. Fubar, Subculture Club, Hugh and Michael with you, and we have Matthew Horn joining us in this studio.
Hello.
And, mate, this is great. So, as we said previously before, we thought, no, do you know what, Matthew Horn, too big a deal. We don't even need to list your we don't even need to name your list of credits. We don't need to, all right? Because no. You've been nominated for an award with people like Harry Potter.
That's his full name.
That's their full names. The Danish girl. All these people. Like, it's amazing. It's very, very good, man. But we do need to talk about you. You're smack in the middle of a run right now for your new play called The Miser.
That's right. An adaptation of Molière's classic comedy, The Miser, first premiered in 1668. This is all off the top of my head.
It sounds like it. It's
and it was adapted by Sean Foley and directed by Sean Foley, who previously directed The Dresser, The Painkiller, Jeeves in Worcester, and The Lady Killers in the West End, London's glittering West End, which is close to all shops, bars and restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were talking about me being media trained. Yeah. I mean, this is really good.
Do you know what I love about it even more, though, is that you're actually reading a piece of paper that has nothing to do with what you're saying,
exactly.
But you were actually reading it anyway while you were saying all this information.
Exactly. I was reading the Wikipedia for my upcoming subculture that I'm going to announce. And we are running until June the 3rd. Eight shows a week.
Eight shows a week?
Thank you.
Fuck.
Thank you.
Because that's so heavy, man, because obviously, I mean, it is pretty grueling. If you're filming a film or a TV series, it's pretty grueling. It's long days. It's early starts for an extended period. But, like, I imagine, is it far more grueling doing a theatre run?
I don't know, really. It's odd. I mean, the thing with... You can be a bit more relaxed on the telly. I mean, look, yeah, you're right, the hours are long. But you can be a bit more relaxed because you can have several goes at it or whatever you're doing, you know, whatever scene or whatever. In the theatre, you get one go each night. And there are so many variables in terms of the audience that you don't know what you're going to get. And that's quite stressful in some ways. You don't really know what you're going to get or how they're going to respond to you.
So would you say theatre's like a box of chocolates?
Hang on, let me just check.
You never know what you're going to get.
No, it doesn't say that here.
Doesn't it? Because it's weird, because it did. It did say it on mine.
Please elucidate. I mean, look, there are more variables than your standard box of chocolates. Because you've got a cast of 12 people who, you know, are all have their own variables, like what, you know, what they've eaten. They might need, you know, they might be feeling under the weather. They might be in a good mood, a bad mood. And then you've got all those variables. It's 700 people in the theatre. You know?
Damn.
You don't know what you're going to get.
No. Is it nice though? Do you like having that?
I suppose that's part of the thrill. As I can tell, you guys know all about adrenaline. Oh, it's exhausting.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say I'm addicted to it.
Well, I can see that.
Yeah.
Is that what you're addicted to?
Well, it's one. It's on the list. Mm-hmm. It's definitely on the list. Yeah.
That's what...
I mean, it's somewhere in the top 20 of your addictions, isn't it?
50. I'd go 50.
Yeah, I was going to say top 50.
Yeah, top 50.
At least.
Yeah. Definitely in the top 50. 47. Yeah.
So, but look, it's really fun, and the play is funny, and part of the thrill is, yeah, going and doing the show every night, and not really knowing what you're going to get and how the audience are going to respond, but it is exhausting, yeah, it is.
Of course.
Yeah. I sometimes don't get back home till... 10:45 PM.
Jesus Christ.
Far out.
You're living
horrible,
it.
Isn't it?
Have you been home since last night?
Yes.
And are you going straight from here back there? And how are you just
going to
go?
I'm going straight to the theatre.
Are you?
I have in my dressing room, and this has got nothing to do with my National Film Awards nomination, there is a daybed.
That's when you know you've made it.
A little twinkling.
No wonder you're not getting home until so incredibly late. You're taking little snoozes.
I am, yeah.
Okay, let's. So that is The Miser. It is playing at the Garrick Theatre. It's on right now. You can still go down and see all the details at themiser.theplay.com, and it's running till 10th of June, Saturday 10th of
June. It's not. It's running till the 3rd of June.
Well, reading and paper in front of me is wrong.
You know the corner shop... public relations company.
Mm-hmm. No, but yes, I'm just agreeing.
Well, they're here, look.
Okay.
They need eliminating.
All right. Okay, we will. We've only got about a minute and a half left, so normally what we do right now is sub of the day. We have our own, but I want to hear yours, so can we just replace our normal one with your...
Fine.
You can have our own special sub of the day.
I'm going to order a sub.
Seb of the day with Hugh and Michael, ready for collection.
And Matthew Horn, don't forget. So we're scrapping ours. We want to give you the opportunity to do your very own.
I've just realised it isn't a subculture. It's a subculture that I've tried to look for and it doesn't exist.
I regret giving you this power.
Which maybe we can establish this. Maybe we can establish it. Let us know what it is and maybe we can establish
you
it.
You will not find on the internet any albino porn.
Surely you could. Because my theory with porn is...
Fact.
My theory with porn is, right, the most fucking depraved thing you can possibly think of, there is something 10 times worse than you can imagine that somebody does as a full-time job. That's my theory.
True.
Make fake duck.
Oh, stop getting me sidetracked. Albino porn.
What's maybe, yours then? I mean, that was so quick.
Maybe if you dub over just white porn.
Sorry, guys, we've got to cut out there. No? We've got to go. Right. We're out. Johanna James is taking over up next. go to foobarradio.com and you can listen back to the show there. And we will catch you next week. We're going to leave you up. Hits blunt.
Do you want Bye. To get high?
Thank you, Matthew Horn. What a guy. We'll see you next Friday.
This is fire. Here, pass the blunt, my nigga.
Hey, take your shades off.
I can't do that.
I roll down the window. Oh, no, the hot box. The hot box. Fucking do it back up. How did you make the windows of your flat roll down? Fuck. I don't know, man, but they did. Hey, man, do you reckon when butterflies are in love, do they feel humans in their stomach? How's the sight of my mind being blown, bro? Oh. Yo, listen, I was thinking the other day,
yeah,
listening to some like Nigerian music and that, yeah,
yeah,
and I was thinking to myself, do you reckon Fela Kuti, yeah, if he ever chopped down that tree, or a tree, would be known as that fella?
I fucking really hope so.
So crazy, I could just imagine all the Nigerian folks screaming, ah, look. There's that fella.
I'm gonna get some food, man. I'm gonna get something out of the Do you know what I got, man?
What you got?
I got fucking watermelon. I ate half of last night. Hey, bro, you know, it's a good watermelon. Why don't they have like fire melon and earth melon? Why don't they have all four elements?
I'm so glad we smoke weed, man. Hate the fact that they call it a crime in some countries.
Yo, no, man, shit ain't cool.
Like, real crimes and shit, man, they're the ones that matter. But the thing is, yeah, if I abduct a child, yeah, and the kid takes a mid-afternoon sleep, who's the kidnapper?
It gave me a headache. I got fucking no idea.
I gotta get the fuck out of it.
I'm gonna write a book.
Hang
on, I'm just gonna roll the windows down again. Yeah, I'm gonna bounce out the window and see you, man.
Do it, man.
How the fuck is there traffic lights out the front of my flat? Oh, we're in a car.
Is this a car?
Oh, fuck. I live in a car? Oh, fuck.
Oh, could you drop me to my house, please?
Hell yeah, bro.